Good morning. As Jeff said, I'm competing with a baby this morning. I'm afraid there's no competition on my part. The notices of the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet 10 a.m. In the church hall, and the craft group will meet at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service, 11 a.m, is led by John Pang, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. And it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning, and I hope you're going to tell us how Awena is. Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your ongoing prayers and inquiries and cards. It's been lovely to hear from you, and it makes us feel that we're part of the family here, so thank you. Awena is a little bit better. Having gone back to the doctor and said, look, it's been weeks and weeks, and the painkillers are not really working, so the doctor prescribed something else about a week ago now, and the new tablet is helping to a certain extent. If there were four of them instead of just two a day, it might be a lot better. Hi Lee, welcome. Visitors coming in. Wes is down here. These are Wes's friends, all playing truant from up the road. So I did want to embarrass you, but you were looking lost as you came in. So thank you. Thank you for the card as well that many of you signed and sent to Awena. And one of these days, we hope to be operating as a duo again, because leading the service is not my gifting, it's Awena's. Preaching is mine. So let's open in prayer then and go from there. And Lord, as we come to worship you, we want to declare and we want the world to see how the mercy that we've received can set people free. As we worship you, let this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who strayed so far. And as we bow in adoration, stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory. Let your anointing fall. Amen. Amen. Jokingly chatting to Helen just a few moments ago, saying how today's message is somewhat shorter, and chatting to Awena before we came out, saying it's even shorter because she's not doing her bit. So would you join me as we sing our worship songs? There are three we're going to have, and I would suggest, if you are able, to stand and remain standing for the three of them, rather than bob up and down. Okay? Let's sing about this love of God that's vast as the ocean. Some of you have been on cruises. I know we went across the Atlantic on a cruise, and every day you look out and the vastness of the ocean, and not another ship to be seen. And that's what the hymn writer had in mind. Here is love. It's vast as an ocean. Let's sing about it. Thank you, Dave.
Vast as the ocean, loving kindness as
This is how God loves us. And a response in our hearts, Hallelujah, my Father, for sending us your Son. Let's sing that. So we thanked the Father for sending his Son, Jesus, and now we sing to Jesus, Jesus shall take the highest honor, Jesus shall take the highest praise.
Jesus shall take the highest praise.
Okay, let's just spend a few minutes, or moments at least, in silence, meditating on the things we've declared in the singing of those songs. And if you feel you have something on your heart that you want to shout out your praise to God, let's do it in these few moments, if you want to declare the greatness of our God.
Thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord, and above all, Lord, for your love, Father. Without you, Lord, we are nothing, Father. And we just ask that you touch each and every one here today, and those that are not quite so well, Father, and can't make it, we just ask that you heal them right now, Lord. Just touch them with your mighty hand, Father. We just thank you right now, Lord, for each and every one, Lord, and ask that you bless them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And now we have our Bible reading and a volunteer, I think. Have we? Yes. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Bible reading this morning comes from Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of the heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go to work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who arrived about 5 in the afternoon came and received their denarii. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who had hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for 1 denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last is the first, and the first is the last. Amen.
And now let's continue our worship by bringing our gifts and offerings to the Lord. Thank you.
all good gifts around us come from our Father in heaven. And this seems a very small token of our thanks, our gratitude to you, Father. And so we pray for your anointing upon the gifts and the forgivers, that both might be used for the work of the kingdom and the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to sing another song now, and this and the final one are related to grace. And I think we'll find something about grace in the message as well. So, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Created a thirst. I don't know whether you've noticed, certainly in Scripture, how important water is. And in our songs, we've said it's like a mighty ocean. There's been reference to streams of living water. And water represents so much when used in Scripture. Jesus said that he would create a spring of water welling up within us. And water is essential for life, for human life. And I'm ready for it now. And we read in Scripture of the deer panting for the streams. And so our hearts, our lives should be thirsting for God. That is an introduction to a sermon that I'm not preaching this morning. So my sermon this morning is entitled, It's Not Fair. It's Not Fair. And I wonder how many of you, hearing the reading, felt, yeah, I understand that. That doesn't seem fair at all, does it? And so we need to discover what Jesus was saying, what it meant to the people he was speaking to, and what it can mean for us today. I think most of us will have some sympathy for those first workers. That's not fair. And sometimes we see it in children, don't we? And hopefully we grow out of this attitude. But, you know, if you're dishing out sweets to your children and you inadvertently give one more to one than the other, that's not fair. He's got more than I have. And I guess we've all seen that or experienced it in life. So what was Jesus thinking when he told this parable that even we as Christians start to think, oh, I'm not sure I understand that? What lesson did he have for these hearers, and what lessons are here for us today? First, let's look at the actual parable. You will know by now that I often quote from Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator from centuries ago, and he said this: the direct object of this parable seems to be to show that though the Jews were first called into the vineyard, at length the gospel should be preached to the Gentiles, and they too should be admitted to equal privileges and advantages with the Jews. And one preacher says that if Christians tend to grumble and murmur and feel sorry for themselves, it's because they've forgotten the essence of grace. Murmuring stems from a belief that one deserves more, and as a result, murmurers are never truly happy and become a complaining people. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones also said this, that the murmuring person has forgotten that everything is grace. And he applied this parable to the human condition today. Those who have been in the faith for some time may feel entitled and grumble and complain that they feel they deserve more. But what they forget is that it is all grace from the beginning to the end. Not only are we saved by grace, but we continue to live by grace. And the New Testament writers taught us lessons in how to live in grace. Paul said in writing to the Philippians, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. James said, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The same grace that saved us keeps us. Listen and rejoice. It is all of grace. And if we lose sight of that, then all the wrong thinking and teaching comes, and we need to stand against it. At the end of John's Gospel, we see a conversation taking place between Jesus and Peter. They were having a heart-to-heart, and Jesus gives some indication of what's in store for Peter in the future. And we read that Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's John. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." The important thing is our relationship with Jesus, not how things are in comparison with others, not whether their lot is better than our lot. Jesus is saying, "Never mind about John, you follow me." Christian writer John Ortberg has 12 principles that he seeks to live by, and one of those is this: my path to experiencing God's presence will not look quite like someone else's. And you see the danger there? If you're comparing yourself with someone else rather than discovering how God wants you to live. Back to the parable. And again, I find Matthew Henry, his comments quite helpful. I'll read that section again. "The direct object of this parable seems to be to show that though the Jews were first called into the vineyard, at length the gospel should be preached to the Gentiles, and they should be admitted to equal privileges and advantages with the Jews. This parable may also be applied more generally and shows that God is no debtor to man. It shows that many who begin last and promise little in religion, sometimes by the blessing of God, arrive at a great deal of knowledge and grace and usefulness. Let's not compare ourselves. Let's discover what God wants for us. Also, that the recompense of reward will be given to the saints. Yes, we're going to be rewarded. We've got a crown waiting for us. But not according to the time of our conversion. Not according to how long we've been a Christian. New believers are equal in respect of the experience of grace. Some workers were sent into the vineyard at the 11th hour. Why? Because nobody had hired them before. And the Gentiles came in at the 11th hour, but the gospel had not been preached to them before. So let's never envy or begrudge, but rejoice and praise God for his mercy to others as well as to ourselves. One more look at those who worked a full day. Did they accept that the arrangement and the payment was fair when they were first chosen? Yes, of course they did. What changed? What made it unfair now? The answer to that was that they were comparing themselves and their situation with the latecomers. And we cannot start our relationship with God accepting that our salvation is fair and then change our minds and say, "God, that's not fair." In fact, we need to remind ourselves that our salvation itself is not fair. It's not fair that we who are sinners, we who are far away from God, should be saved. It's not fair that the penalty that we deserved has been paid by the spotless Lamb of God. It's all because of God's mercy and grace. Mercy, that's not getting what we deserve. And grace, that's getting what we didn't deserve. And so if we decide to live and work for the Lord's sake alone, we will not be disappointed. We will not have cause to grumble and moan. And we will no longer complain. It's not fair. Amen. Told you it was a short sermon. You managed to stay awake. Good. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace. And if we could but grasp the full meaning of your grace and how it has blessed our lives and continues to do so. Help us to rest in the fact that you know us completely. You love us completely, and you want the best for us. And how dare we say, that's not fair, God. May we learn more and more about living and walking and relating in grace. To the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And a song to finish, only by grace can we enter. While we're setting that up, I'll just tell a little story. We had a lady called Grace who attended our Thursday worship at church for many years. And at one stage, the Thursday worship took place in one room of the church and a sort of mother and toddlers group in the other. So we had to be careful of the door. So someone was placed on the door. And who was placed on the door? Grace. And only by grace could you enter. Thank you.
Thank you. I just thought before we sit down, it would be good to pray for Tony and Uwena as a church. They're part of our family. We love them very much, don't we? And we love to see them. And Tony's son's here today with friends as well, so that's even better, isn't it? I knew Tony when I was a teenager. He ran the Youth for Christ in the town. So I've known him all that long. Uwena, she taught my children at school, so I've known her quite a long time. And she was a good teacher. She brought my kids through. And I've got a lot to thank these two for. So let's just pray for them now, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Tony and Uwena. Lord, we thank you for their faithful ministry over the years in the different things that they have done for you. And Lord, as Tony is here on his own this morning, we just thank you for your presence with him. And we just thank you, Lord, for the strength he has to continue without Uwena for a little while. And Lord, we thank you for Uwena too, for Lord, her teaching ministry, Lord, and the many children, Lord, she has influenced and set out on the road for good. And Lord, we just pray for her now. We pray, Lord, that you'll just put your arms around her, that, Lord, she will know your strengthening power in her life. And Lord, we long to see her again very soon. Lord, we just pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. And we pray that the blessings of God might flowing into our hearts and lives. We thank you for the words of Scripture that say how you love us. It tells us that we have that love poured into our hearts. It tells us that you have lavished your love upon us. And Lord, we pray in your expressions of love that those expressions of love might be seen, especially in the ways that each one of us need during these coming days, that we might continue to live for you, honoring your name, blessing your name. The name of Jesus. Amen.